So there are many of you who are far more experienced at being grandparents than we are. There was actually a conference in Texas last year where it was on parenting, and they had Ted Tripp and other people there, but they said, we need someone to talk about grandparents. Will you do it? And I said, well, I just got started grandparenting, but I'll do the best I can. I'd read some books. And one thing I found was there's not that much that had been written about grandparenting. And then maybe that's why this was chosen for Sunday school today, because there are a lot of classes on basic child training. There's a bit on teens. Just recently, there have been a couple of good books even came out since I produced my own material. This book here, Grandparenting with Grace by McCall, I found to be very encouraging. I'm going to refer to it before we're done. I wasn't able to get the technology to work, so here's my grandkids. Y'all can show me your pictures during the break. That we've only been grandparents for a few years. Our youngest son married a woman who had a 7-year-old, who's now a 9-year-old, and so we got to be step-grandparents, and we love Alexandra so much. And then a year and a half ago, that son and another son had kids within a month of each other, so we have two toddlers now. And the Lord, with our travel schedule, actually allowed us to be in San Diego and Seattle the last few weeks to get to see them briefly. And we found it to be a great joy. It's kind of funny. Caroline and I, yeah, there's some people, older people, who are kind of baby snatchers at church, right, where they see a mom, yeah, let me hold your baby. We were never that way. But the experience of holding your own grandbaby is just something no one can prepare you for, and it's a blessing. A lot of the best training I've had in grandparenting is God gave me one amazing grandfather with whom I was actually closer than my own dad. He took me deer hunting. He just had unlimited time. I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I would get up earlier than anybody else in the household at 6:30 in the morning, and I would pick up the phone and rotary phone, and I knew his number, and he'd be happy to talk to me as long as I liked. And even as I became an adult, my last conversation with him was I would call him every Saturday when he was in his 80s, and a couple days after I last talked to him, he'd had a stroke. But just he was so interested in me. And a great mentor to me. He had a model marriage. When Carolyn and I got serious, I wanted to bring her down to South Texas to meet my grandparents and see how they treated each other. And I wanted, you know, whatever is good in our marriage, I think a lot of that had been patterned after them. Although my joke is my grandfather always did the dishes, and I somehow never picked that part up. In counseling, there have been a lot of different scenarios we've experienced. One is just as culture has changed, I think close to a majority of grandparents live 200 miles or more away from their grandchildren. Like we have Seattle and San Diego ourselves, we're in Charlotte. Also, just as the culture has declined, there are more conflicts like I talked about in the sermon, where some of us, we raised our children to be believers, they're not walking with the Lord, now they're parenting in their own way, something like that. That can be awkward. And then sometimes it's the other way around, where I have a lot of what I call anti-millennials, meaning they're not like the typical millennials. They're responsible. They adult. They do adulting well. They get married, have kids, love the Lord, serve the Lord. And they've got parents in my generation who are misbehaving and irresponsible and selfish. So there are all kinds of complications. But I'm really convinced in, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that God's word being infallible equips us for every good work, including grandparenting. The ideal is that, you know, you have multiple generations who all are in harmony together. The proverb says, grandchildren are the glory of old men or the crown of the aged. And the psalm, a blessing is, may you see your children's children. This past year, I preached to the book of Ruth, and the book of Ruth ends with a grandmother holding a baby and the hope of Messiah coming through that. What a wonderful picture that is. More than one man has said, if I had known grandchildren were going to be this much fun, I would have started with them. And then positively, I think the Bible makes many references to us as grandparents being a blessing to our grandchildren. And in Deuteronomy, when Moses is recounting all that God has done, he says, do not forget the things you have seen, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. And so we, in an ideal situation, join with our children in training our grandchildren and to speak with authority from the Scriptures. Last night we looked at Deuteronomy 6, which said these things should be on your heart, and then you teach them to your sons, to your children. Other references, you know, many references in the Pentateuch, in Exodus 10, 1 and 2. It's not just parents, but grandparents. You may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and performed mighty signs. And so, in terms of how that applies to us, for those of us who have opportunity with our grandchildren, we can be a voice. Psalm 145 says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And so what a blessing it is to be able to read the Bible, to read Bible stories to our grandchildren, even when they're with us, to see that we read the Bible on our own and to set that example, to train them in the wisdom of Proverbs and the fear of the Lord and wisdom with finances and relationships and speech and all of these things. And then a sense of sharing the gospel with them. And I understand for many of us, our hope is that our children, our grandchildren will never know a time when they were unbelievers. But the reality is they need to believe for themselves, and not everybody knows the moment that happened. But we want to continually not assume, but bring the gospel to them. Paul writes to Timothy, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. So apparently the grandmother Lois had influence there to be sowing seed. We also, as we are older, can set an example, which Titus talks about in Titus chapter 2, where he says, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may instruct the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You know, as the boomers are becoming grandparents, and a lot of them still haven't really grown up themselves, we can set an example as we're walking with the Lord, to live for His glory, to be the aroma of Christ, to pray with our grandchildren when we're allowed, to pray for them. One of the best things in this book that I've actually tried to practice since I read the book is he has a section starting on page 55 of ways we can pray for our grandchildren, you know, that they would obey their parents, that they would love the Word of God, that they would be surrounded by godly friends, that they would be seekers of wisdom and counsel. And he's got 3 pages of these, and I've only got 30 minutes, so I'm not going to read them all. But to ask your children how you can pray for your grandchildren, to ask your grandchildren how you can pray for them, that can lead to some very insightful conversations. Just to connect with them. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says that the plan of a man's heart is like a deep well, but a man of understanding draws it out. It takes time and it takes interest to draw the depths of someone's heart out. And sometimes the parents are so busy just making life happen. You might be the person, like I was with my grandfather, where you spend hours and hours in a deer blind, of course, realizing that talking scares away the deer. But maybe he was more interested in talking to me than he was in killing deer. I'm not sure. But to listen, to share your own story of God's faithfulness to you, the family story. My wife's mother, actually named Lois, my children have a grandmother named Lois, too. Made legacy books for all of her adult grandchildren this past Christmas that kind of tells the family story. And my grandfather would send me handwritten letters all the way through when I was in college, which are still in a box somewhere, including them in your life, you know, like the hunting or the chores or cooking. There is, for many of us, is long-distance grandparenting and having to use the technology of Skype and FaceTime. Some of us need to become more tech savvy. Our 9-year-old granddaughter just got a phone. I didn't make that decision. She's got it. But she likes to get texts. And so we make efforts that way to plan visits that can involve, you know, spending money to get them to us, at fixing up your house, as I'm sure some of you have done, and putting really great books for them to read and games and toys. Caroline has kept a bunch of toys from our kids. Some is for hospitality for people from church, but always hoping someday there'd be grandchildren to play with those as well. Caroline has been teaching Sunday school to small children for 30 years or so. And she will send letters to these kids, even though they live in the neighborhood. And little children love to get mail, which is another thing, to send them a card or send them a small gift. I travel a lot and I bring Alexandra snow globes, which you have to be careful, those in security. Showing up at events. I look back where my grandparents who lived like 350 miles away, I'd have a concert where I'm the trombone player out of 6 trombone players and 80 people in the band. We played for 30 minutes and they drove back and forth to be there. I didn't fully understand that at the time, but to appreciate those efforts they made. Kindnesses. When I was in college, my grandmother, she would send me a box of oatmeal cookies. I remember even then, like a 19-year-old thinking, if she said $2, I could go to HEB and buy some cookies. And hers are nothing but crumbs by the time the post office has had them for a week. I never told her that part. But they mean a lot more than the $2 would have meant. Affection, hugs, and acceptance. Garrison Keillor would say of the children of Lake Wobegon, it says, "Where all children are above average." Not all grandchildren are above average. Some are not as attractive. Some are not as intelligent. Some are not as talented. And the wonderful thing, they're yours, and you still love them anyway. And to show them the love and acceptance and attention and affirmation for qualities of their character that are affirmable, and sometimes to gently correct them. I have vivid memories of once or twice my grandfather correcting me. I think because I had such an awesome respect of him, his words carried great weight when he spoke to me. And then Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." I was already hearing comments out in the lobby how, my wife loves to spoil our grandkids. And I'm going to get to that in a moment, how we have to respect parents as we do so. But that is a blessing where we can, sometimes we're at a stage of life where we can afford stuff that their parents can't afford and we can be a blessing. When Caroline got her degree at RTS, my gift to her was an annual pass to Disney World. And so we spent some time at Disney World during that year. And what I noticed was all the people our age who are bringing their children and grandchildren, and they're just standing around watching everybody else play, but that's how those families could go. Now, I would also say from the standpoint of relationship, that could be a great trip. It may be that renting a cabin in the mountains would provide more FaceTime and discussion, but to bring blessing to the family is rather than waiting until you die, when maybe they don't need it, to be able to wisely create family memories and blessings in that way. Helping pay for Christian school, or enabling the mom to be at home so that she can homeschool her kids. And then helping the parents. I know that when we had kids, that I was more interested in getting advice from everybody, including my parents. It's a way of honoring them. I would say to you as grandparents, it's probably wise to wait to be asked rather than to give a lot of unsolicited advice. One thing we have done, I've seen other people have done that I think is very wise, is as your children begin to parent, one thing that has come to my mind is where we fell short. And rather than pretending like it was all fine, I think one of the best ways to humbly teach your children about being a parent is to describe where you see, in light of the Word of God, in light of things you've learned, where you could have done better, where you were impatient, where you, made big things little things and little things big things, or selfish or whatever. Just here's where we see we could have done better. And quite frankly, there's some stuff I still don't know we should have done. But to be humble, to not just to say do it the way we did it because it was perfect, but even we know we weren't perfect, maybe even seeking their forgiveness where we fell short. Another feature would be that your children can be tremendously influenced when you affirm what they're doing right. It's biblical to affirm that which is affirmable. Paul can even affirm the Corinthians about some things before he rebukes them for others. In Proverbs 31, the children and the husband of the godly woman rise up and bless her. And we've really tried with our sons who are kind of new at being parents. When we see the attention they give, the work that they're doing and, helping with their education, their character, to tell them the things we think they're doing well. We've done a lot of correcting of our kids over the 35 or 38 years we've been parents, and to affirm their efforts. Sometimes we can be helpful when they have a conflict with their kids, especially thinking in the teen years. A big thing expected of grandparents in terms of helping the parents is childcare. That can create conflict sometimes, but Carolyn and I would go on mission trips when we had smaller kids, and my mom would come stay with them for a week while we would go to the Philippines or Spain, and those were great memories for family as well. And quite frankly, like our kids now, if they want to, assuming the virus thing ends and they want to go on a vacation again, the idea of being able to invest in their marriage is, we want our kids to have great marriages. We want our kids to love their wives. And so if our watching their kids so they can have a date night, or our, you know, going and staying with those kids for several days so they can get away and have a romantic getaway someplace, sounds like a really good thing to me and good for being with your grandkids. It's going to be harder than you think, but it's still a good idea. There are some danger spots. Just one is Genesis 2:24, you know, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And we have to be very careful to respect that our children have authority over our grandchildren, even if we don't agree with what they're doing. Caroline has had a counseling case recently over some months now with a lady whose son and daughter-in-law, in the opinion of this grandmother, are doing a very poor job of raising the grandchildren. And this woman seems to take every opportunity to tell her son and to sometimes her daughter-in-law where they think they're wrong, where she thinks they're wrong. How do you think that's working out? Yeah, not too well. That you have to respect that you're no longer in authority over your children, and that they're going to make choices, and they may make choices about how they educate them, how they discipline them. Sometimes you can feel kind of threatened because they say, well, we're not going to ever spank our kids. Well, you know, you spank them, so implicitly you're being judged for spanking your kids, or we're going to, you know, and they're idealistic like you were. You just have to hold back a lot. Proverbs 18:13 says that he who speaks before he listens is a folly and a shame to him. And my point would be, don't speak a lot before you've listened a lot. And I think one thing that we've tried to do, especially since our children are not seeking to raise our grandchildren biblically necessarily, they think they want to do a great job by what they think is a great job, but they're not Christians themselves. We've made it clear to them that we are not going to dishonor their standards. You know, if they say they're not going to spank their kids, we're not going to spank their kids. If, you know, they're concerned about what books we might be reading or we might be saying, that we're going to respect and honor their standards as best we can. When you get home, there's a video, if you've ever seen, it's a Southern thing. There's a video about the grandmother spoiling the grandkids. It's worth watching because of, you know, time and other matters. We're not going to play it now. But it's making fun of, you know, the grandmother who's buying the stuff and letting the little girl stay up late and eat candy, and the mom's trying to get her in line, and the husband doesn't support the mom, and it's real. So just likewise, being careful not to criticize the parents in front of the grandchildren. Your parents have these weird ideas about food, or they're religious nuts, or they should be doing this or that or the other. It's all going to go back. Gifts. Actually, my mother in 1987 braved the crowds at Toys R Us to secure one of the original Nintendo systems for my children. I then told my mother my children may not have a Nintendo system, and she had to go back and return it. She does not hate me to this day, and I'm thankful for that. She was a good example. By the way, I was wrong. A year later, I let them have it anyway. It was just silly, but she did the right thing. In terms of discipline, I think you have to have an arrangement of, you know, what the parents tell you how you may discipline them, and there has to be mutual agreement there. It could be that you can't keep them for long periods of time if you don't have the tools at your disposal to have crowd control. But, you know, you want to follow their rules. With the young, you know, the 30-somethings in our church who have difficulties with their parents, the grandparents, I hear stories of, you know, we send them over to the grandparents and they watch videos they're not allowed to watch, they eat food they're not allowed to eat, and it's creating tension in the relationships. And sometimes it can become it can result in you losing some access to your grandchildren. Or, well, we can't let this child go over there alone anymore because we can't trust the grandparents to follow our rules. Another warning would just be not to show favoritism. It says Israel loved Joseph more than, this is in Genesis 37, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a multicolored tunic. And Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. And that is also repeatable. And to do everything you can to treat them the same, love them the same. Again, some kids are better looking, more talented, and more intelligent than others. And our flesh may be drawn to looking at those kids as our legacy. And the children who may not be, actually, but 1 Corinthians 1 says, when God chose us, he did not choose us because we were the most attractive. He chose us because we were unworthy. And so I think showing love to a child who may not be as successful could be a great way to have a wonderful influence. Other dangers would be in-law issues. Big thing, like the case of Caroline's talking about, but this is not uncommon, is you've got the mother of the son having conflicts with the daughter-in-law over the grandkids. If you want to lose access to your grandkids, then attack your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law. You want to have a great relationship because they control access to your kids, your grandkids. And again, if your nagging or criticizing is not going to change their hearts and bring them to repentance, it's the kindness of God, Romans 2:4, that leads us to repentance. Or a competition with other grandparents. I think we should celebrate the good things about their relationship with other grandparents rather than being jealous. And they may be richer than you, or they may live closer than you, and they can do more things, or you may feel like it's unfair because they have Thanksgiving every year with this other people and not with you. Be careful. Back off. Another would just be selfishness. Philippians 2 says we should consider others more important than ourselves. Jesus said we should love your neighbor as yourself. And as the boomers, who have been a pretty selfish generation that hasn't been through so much hardship, become retirement age, I used to think of old people as being kind of sweet and nice, but there are a lot of nasty old people in the world right now, aren't there? You see, I'm not going to go into detail, I don't have time, but obviously it seems like you guys would get it. Old age is not a time for selfishness. The American dream of, you know, retiring and playing golf and traveling and all that, I'm not against travel or playing golf, but that's not what life is about. This can be a season of life when your kids are overwhelmed with making enough money to survive that we could step in and really be able to help. And that could be a blessing, not to be taken advantage of by lazy parents, but to offer help financially, time. Some people make decisions of where to live, where they can help their grandkids. And I can say for myself that this is the thing I have to keep telling myself, because I'm at a time where I'm extremely busy in my career, teaching, writing, traveling, that my grandchildren are still very important, and to set aside time to make effort for those relationships. We've already talked, and I'm not going to go through what we did last night about why do children turn out the way they do. The burden will be when you have grandchildren who are not walking with the Lord, or children who are not walking with the Lord. We are praying that God will have mercy upon them. We all have fallen short, but ultimately, on the human level, our children and grandchildren are making choices, and on the divine level, we're pleading with God to work in our families to bring faith and obedience, and we continue in hope as we pray and we love, and sometimes it can be, you hear of the prayers of a mother, and it can be prayers of grandparents, where you keep loving, you keep caring, and I've talked to grandparents and say, well, I visited my granddaughter at college and she says she's a lesbian. She wanted us to meet her girlfriend. And again, nothing should stop me from loving her. I can't say, oh, that's wonderful. But I can be kind. I can be loving. And just as we can be there and maintain relationship in the hope that God will work and maybe use us. There are many tricky questions to which there's no brief, one-size-fits-all answer. you know, if your children aren't walking with the Lord, they may not want you taking your grandchildren to church or reading Bible stories. But in some cases, they may be okay with that. The irony for us is that with our 9-year-old now, the parents were kind of a little bit nervous about us trying to proselytize the girl. But now they've got her in Christian school because the public school there is so terrible. And we just smile and help. As God allows us and enables us. One of the great problems sometimes is alienation. When, you know, there's such a problem, like I talked about in the sermon, where I know families where they can't, and the brokenhearted grandparents who are cut off from their grandchildren. And again, there are many different reasons. I would say one is try to, maybe there's a log in your eye you're not aware of in terms of you being judgmental, impatient. You know, there may be some sin on your part that's created some of the alienation. And if you can't figure out what that is, that's where getting godly counsel from wise elders or other counselors could be a good thing. Is what can we do? Back to Romans 12:18, as far as is possible with you, be at peace with all men. Is there something we can do to rebuild the relationship, to try to understand what's wrong? But in some cases, I know of people where I think they've done everything they can, and the heartbreak is that there's such hardness, there's nothing else they can do. There are also other very difficult situations that I just have time to touch upon briefly. One thing that's really hard is you see your children, and if they're acting sinfully or irresponsibly, and you see that it affects your grandchildren. Sometimes you may make tough choices where your child is not responsible financially, and if it was just him, you might say, fine. But you got two grandchildren involved, and you'll find yourself, how can I help them without overly enabling his irresponsibility, his drinking, or whatever it is that he's... And again, there's no one-size-fits-all answer, but you may find yourself doing things for your grandchildren you didn't think you would do, you know, for their sakes. Likewise, there have been cases where sometimes the children are so irresponsible, the grandparents take on the parental role. And there's actually statistics that 2.7 million grandparents are in the primary caregiving role of grandchildren. And sometimes that could be, you know, death, but a lot of times it's children who have babies, and then the children are so irresponsible that the grandparents end up taking over that role. We've watched that happen a few times. One piece of advice I could give you would be, if they're not willing to take on the responsibility of training their own children, I would strongly advise you to get legal guardianship so that 5 years later they don't come back and say, well, now we want her back again, after you've poured your life and your heart into this child. That if parental responsibility is given to you, then parental rights and authority should be given to you. Doesn't mean you would shut the parents out of the life of the child, but complications can occur, like I said. So, you know, according to Scripture, old age can be a time of blessing and fruitfulness. Carolyn and I both have recently entered our 60s, which I guess puts us in a high-risk group, but I don't feel like I should be in a high-risk group. But Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of God, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so I think one way we can be fruitful and flourish in old age is through the blessing of being grandparents, through the blessing of helping our children, to help with our grandchildren, and to be fruitful. It's like other things in life. It's not always simple. It's not always easy. But the Word of God gives us wisdom as we face different circumstances and challenges. And again, more than anything else, as we pray specifically, we pray in hope. And we're willing to make sacrifices. We're willing with our time, our energy, and our resources, not just foolishly to enable irresponsibility, but to show love and to give help. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you are a perfect Father to us, and in that we rejoice greatly. Oh God, what a blessing it is to have children and grandchildren. And we pray, oh God, that you would help us to be faithful parents, faithful grandparents, for some who are in very difficult circumstances, give us comfort as hearts can be sad and broken over estrangement or sin. Give us wisdom of where to help, where to speak, when to hold back, when to remain silent. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us with the strength you supply and that even the later years of our lives would be very fruitful to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.